Okay, Jesus as our intercessor, part two, we will do on Wednesday. Okay, we'll talk about it then. I'm looking at the audience, and I don't think, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody here heard me at Bellevue, right? Okay, so one of the reasons I was a little bit, one of the things about Bellevue, you know, I know that message in particular, I felt like the congregation here could really benefit from. But it's a little bit weird, like if a bunch of people in the audience or if even a few people in the audience have heard the message before, it's a little bit awkward. You know, you kind of feel like you ripped those people off just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I would have loved to have seen Davey and Sue, but I would have felt a little awkward about it if they would have walked in. So wish you were here, Davey and Sue. But now we can talk about this, and I really wanted us to. Now, my first point as well, I felt like, this is just my disclaimer section, okay? My first point in Bellevue, I almost just threw it away. And the reason why I almost threw it away is because there's a lot there, and I don't have a lot of time. And I know that I went long in Bellevue, okay? So here's what I'm going to do for point number one. I'm going to tell you what the point is, and I'm going to go through the scriptures and I'll tell you what those are rather slowly, but I'm not going to expound on point number one, all right? So here's the first point. The first point is that God's desire has always been for his people to bear fruit. And the way that we establish that is through Genesis 1:28. And in Genesis 1:28, excuse me, it talks about how God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. They were to fill up the whole earth completely. And then we went to Genesis 9:1, and in Genesis 9:1, it's telling Noah to be fruitful, to fill up the whole earth. And we established then that being fruitful had to do with producing more fruit. That is, producing children. And specifically in the New Testament then, it is about producing more spiritual children, okay? That God is working on us to produce spiritual children, that he wants us to bear fruit. Colossians chapter 1 is one scripture that we will go to because this is really the crux and the definitional statement here of bearing fruit. Colossians 1, just verses 5 through 8. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. The entire time that I was reading that, I was distracted by the fact that Tony did hear this yesterday. So, Tony, I'm sorry. You didn't hear the whole thing. Okay, perfect. So, a little bit of a repeat. One of the things here that it's defined for us what bearing fruit really is, verse 6, constantly bearing fruit and increasing. That is, they heard the word of God, they accepted it, and there were more Christians because of that fact. In fact, there in that same chapter, what we just read, is it's gone out into the whole world. So bearing fruit really has to do with producing more Christians. And this is not a minor issue. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8 talk about how you will know, they will, well, let's go there just real quick. John 15, verses 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So bearing much fruit is going to be how we glorify God and prove to be his disciples. And so what we're really going to focus on today is how to be useful and fruitful, because I think that everybody, you know, you take a look at, you know, our core group, And I think that a lot of the reasons why people are a part of our core group is because they really want to be pleasing to Jesus, right? You think about it. You're not going to come here on a Sunday afternoon because the entertainment value is so high. Clearly it's not, right? I mean, it's not just our songs. Like, I am not the most dynamic preacher in the world. I mean, if you wanted the show, this ain't the place for you, man, right? And so people are here because they care about the truth and they want to be pleasing to Jesus and do what he says. So I fundamentally think that people really do care about bearing fruit. I think they really do care about being productive for King Jesus. I think that a lot of times questions come up that paralyze people, like, how do I do this, and what counts as fruit, and who counts as fruit, and what's that look like? And we know that it's not just immersions, but rather it is people hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And so this is talking about the reproduction process in particular. It's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people go to John 15, 7 and 8, and then go to Galatians chapter 5. Okay? Now, Galatians chapter 5 and bearing the fruit of the Spirit is really important, but that's not what Jesus is talking about in John 15. And it's defined by Colossians chapter 1. So it means the reproduction process. To make that analogy between the New Testament and the Old Testament, bearing fruit in the New Testament being equal to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, would be similar to an Old Testament husband saying, I was loving and patient with my wife, therefore I have fulfilled the command to bear fruit. No, that doesn't get you any more kids. But they do work together like gears, because even if you fulfill the reproduction process in that case, what happens if you bring kids into the world and the home is not loving, patient, kind, good? So these things work together. They work together like gears. That is, as we work with other people, those qualities of the Spirit are ours and increasing. And the more that the qualities of the Spirit, which are grown through not just working with other people, but the renewal process, the more the qualities of the Spirit grow, the more effective we are in working with other people. So you see that those two things work together in connection for propulsion and progress to really take place. So we want to help people to live up to their potential. And these things are going to work together to be fruitful, for us all to be fruitful in Christ. And so each part of the gear mechanism needs the other parts for there to be propulsion and for the mechanism as a whole to work together. And working with other people in some way, shape, or form is going to help us to exhibit more of the qualities of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. It's the Spirit who is producing those things in our lives. Just remember, it's the Spirit who is producing those things in our lives. Because sometimes what I've found is that, especially, there's a certain segment of us that it's much easier to stand for principles sometimes than to kneel for a Lord. To kneel for the Lord. Because how much does standing for principles cost you? Especially the United States, right? These are my principles. Well, we do need to stand for principles, but we also need to kneel for our Lord. And what working with other people forces us to do is both stand for principles and kneel for our Lord. If we think about this in a very practical way, okay, what's easier, having parenting principles or being a parent? I mean, I was a genius parent before I had kids. Really, really smart. Knew everything about parenting, right? I could tell you how to be a parent, better parent, right? It's easy to have parenting principles. These are my principles, guys. Oh, okay, that's great. We should have principles. You should have guiding things that you're going to stand for no matter what. But when the rubber meets the road, actually being a parent, that takes some real work, doesn't it? So what God is helping us with and working with other people is standing for principles. We should never compromise truth, but also kneel for a Savior. That is that we are helping people to get from one place to another. We are actually putting those principles into action. And so we do want to bear fruit. So that was point number one, and that was my synopsis, okay? So what's it mean to be useful? What's that really mean? The first thing that I want us to realize is that our part really counts. And our part really makes a difference. And one of the challenges that we face is to how to properly appraise things spiritually. Because since we are inundated with the world and worldly things, we have a tendency to start to take on their scoreboard. And so we want to make sure that we properly appraise things spiritually. And so we want to look, okay, what does God's scoreboard actually say? And the other thing, the other challenge that we have a tendency to have is, how do we think big enough? We tend to think rather small. I was talking to Wasian a little bit this morning about how, you know, Jesus is coming back and every eye is going to see him. Well, how's that work? How's every eye going to see him in the United States and in China? I don't know, but he's God, right? Like, it's no problem. It's the same God who parted the Red Sea. It's the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. I'm sure that he can make everybody in China and everybody in the United States see him when he comes back. It's really not a problem. He's God, right? And so in the same way, we have a tendency to think microscopically. And God wants us to think bigger. One of the old cries of the Restoration was every member a minister. You guys ever remember hearing that statement? Every member a minister. That is, every member is serving. And we really need to return to the heart of that sentiment. Every person participates, and every contribution really does count. Because everyone's part and everyone's role is essential to Team Jesus getting the job done. Just as God has made evangelism and personal growth to work together, he's also constructed the body as a whole to work together. And he has constructed his body so that each part of the body actually needs the other parts of the body to be useful and effective. So each part of the body that's doing its job needs the other parts for the body to be able to work effectively. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. See, this was really exciting because not only does God communicate our value, but he said that we're needed to accomplish his purpose. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the whole body is fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That means we as a whole are fitted together by what your individual joint brings to the table. That's the way that the body as a whole can work together for us to accomplish, yes, the goal that God has for us to bear fruit. But the only way that we can do that is to really do that together according to the proper working of each individual part. And I want to focus just for a second on that proper working of each individual part. That means your personal growth, your personal renewing, your personal progress really matters to our functioning as a whole. That is, we grow as a whole, we get better because your joint is then stronger. What you're bringing to the table that helps us to make it go, your part is then emphasized. And there's a couple different ways that we could illustrate this. One of those ways is congregation ours, you know, this size, if we lose one or two, you know who the good singers are, right? Okay, I'm usually not one of them. Okay, you lose one or two singers, they don't happen to be there, and then we start singing, right? And like, you know it right now, right? It's like, oh boy, here we go. Could be a rough two or three songs here, because, you know, you know who's talented and who's, you know, again, all of our voices count. It's an offering up to God. It's a joyful noise, not a melodic sound, right? Like that's what he's looking. But does each individual person's part count? Is it pretty evident and clear in a situation like that? You betcha. Well, just because that's clear to us doesn't mean that all of the other things that aren't so clear from our perspective, they don't matter, right? They matter a ton. What you're bringing and what you're supplying on an individual basis just by being here. The encouragement of just even being in the assembly is a microcosm of how the body as a whole needs each individual part. Your presence matters and contributes to positive momentum. And again, the assembly is just a microcosm of the body as a whole working together. You know, you guys remember a couple weeks ago when I was hobbling around here and not really able to move my neck and I was stiff as a board because I just had a rib out. I had a few vertebrae and my chiropractor hardly did anything. You know, she knocked on a few things here or there. And then, you know, she stretched out a few things, and then, like, I was better, right? Like, you give me 15 minutes, I can learn how to do that, too. No. But it was just a few things that were just a little bit off that made me basically, you know, barely able to function. I'm certainly not able to function at 100%. That's when something's just a little bit off. God uses the illustration of the body, right? And he wants us to be built up, and we are built up by what every joint supplies. And so that's going to encourage us to have the whole body be built up by us growing together. So we need to appraise things the right way. Next, to be useful, we have to have something to offer. To be useful, we have to have something to offer. I want to encourage you in a couple of different ways in particular. The first thing I'd like to say is be recharged, be grown, and be healed by the Lord. And what I want you to hear here is that at our immersions, the Lord makes us completely new and we're free. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. However, we all are very aware, has been said many times from this pulpit and others, that there are still habits present that we must deal with. The habits are the same from before our immersions to after our immersions. In much the same way, many of us have scars, pain, hurt from our past life. Okay? And sometimes our past lives have not prepared us to be very effective. So for many of us to be able to eventually get to the point where we can effectively bear fruit, we have to really dive into this process of being recharged, grown, and healed by the Lord. That really needs to be embraced, because we don't all come into Jesus Christ at the same level. Sometimes I explain it to again, we're all equal in Christ. I'm not saying anything different than that. But our ability to be able to be effective in the Lord is not the same when we come into Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate in this way. Sometimes kids, teenagers, will ask me the question, okay, look, what's it matter, right? Like, hey, they put some things together. Like, hey, I'm not accountable right now, right? And like, well, what's it really matter what I do now if I'm not accountable? And again, if you're thinking that way, you're thinking the wrong way, right? But why should I really study? Why should I really pray? Why should I really memorize? Why should I do these things if I'm not even a Christian anyway? Like, what's the point? And the thing that I respond to them is, What young people are doing now, prior to their years of being immersed, they're really determining what level they're going to come into Christ at, what effectiveness level they're able to come into Jesus Christ at. Okay? That's what we're preparing our kids, is we're preparing them to either be effective soldiers of Jesus Christ, or that they're basically starting from ground zero when they're immersed into Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the example that I sometimes use, because kids like video games, okay, is that it's the same video. If you're playing Madden, okay, and you're playing Madden, and it's the same video game if you're playing on Rookie or if you're playing on All Madden, okay? But your ability to play on Rookie versus your ability to play on All Madden are completely and totally different. This is the same video game, but, you know, if you're at a Rookie level and you play All Madden, you're getting whooped, right? You are not going to be winning a game for a really, really, really long time, okay? And so young people who are outside of Christ kind of get to determine, they get to determine, what level am I coming into the game at? Am I going to come in at an all-pro level? Am I going to come in at an all-Madden level? What is the level of effectiveness that I am going to come into Jesus Christ at? Again, we're all new creations in Jesus Christ, but the effectiveness is not the same. It's not the same. And so for those of us who are adults, and we can see that, that's kind of easy to see in children, our effectiveness is not necessarily going to be the same either, even though all of our potential is Jesus Christ, right? And so what I'm trying to do with this is help us to see that the Lord wants to grow us. The Lord does put up what our potential really is, and the Lord wants us to embrace that process of being recharged, if you want to use that word, or grown or healed by the Lord. It's the principle of putting someone else, or putting your own oxygen mask on before you go help someone else. Right? What do they all tell you at the, you know, when you've got your earphones in and you're playing on your phone for the last 2 minutes, okay, and the stewardess is doing her whole presentation, okay, that you've heard 15 times if you've flown before, right? It's like, okay, put your own oxygen mask on before you help someone else. Well, that's a good principle, because what we want to do is we want to make sure that we've got our own oxygen masks on before we try and help someone else. That is to say, that is not to say that we have to be perfect or wonderfully skilled before we help others. It's not what I'm saying. That's the first point we established, that it's like gears, right? As we help other people, we grow, right? But we also don't need to feel inordinate pressure to get other people's masks on when we're in the process of suffocating. We don't need to feel that pressure. To add in another illustration, if we want to help those who are in the battlefield, who are making strides in spiritual warfare, one of the best way is by getting the wounded who are in the field into the hospital so that they can get back out into the field. They need to go into the hospital to get to the things that they need so that then they can return to firing their weapons. So that's going to look like, for us individually, as we are grown by the Lord and grown by others, it's going to look like renewing the mind. It's going to look like scripture in. It's going to look like prayer. It's going to look like memorization. It's going to look like meditation. And so those things that I just listed, you know, prayer, memorization, meditation, scripture reading. Those are all vertical practices, right? Us and God, right? And we need those vertical practices. The Lord talks over and over about those vertical practices. But it also means being grown by the body of Christ. It means having relationships where you can trust and be fully known. God uses the body, the church, to help us grow into the shape and in the very image of Jesus Christ. Let's go to James chapter 5 real quick. We went over this passage when we were working through the book of James. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. See, this is not so much a legalistic command as it is a relational privilege. See, to be able to be known, to be able to trust, okay, so that we can be healed. God uses the vertical to heal us, but he also uses the body of Christ and the horizontal to heal us as well. Each member of the body is dependent upon the other parts of the body. He's made us a body for a reason. The scripture tells us it's not good for man to be alone, and specifically that's in reference to Adam, right? But isn't it true? I mean, Adam's in the Garden of Eden that God says is pretty good. Adam was with God. And what does he say about Adam on an individual basis? On individual, Adam is with God. Adam has an unfallen world, right? Paradise. What does he say? It's not good for man to be alone. He's specifically talking about Eve. But wouldn't that then be true that it's not good for mankind to be alone? Not good for mankind to be alone. How helpful is it to have relationships where we can get honest feedback for someone who really cares about us and wants to share their wisdom with us? God has designed these relationships to help grow us. You can even think about, there's a sense in which even sermons are somewhat horizontal. How many times is the information that's given, it's from here, it's vertical, but it's said a little bit differently, right? It's presented in such a way so that we see things differently. God has that design so that, again, horizontally, we can be influenced by someone else. Something like a camp that we just came off of, everybody knows that the best part of all of these camps is, okay, 3, 2, 1, you all say it together. The best part of these camps is 3, 2, 1, fellowship. it's interesting, fellowship. You know, I didn't hold up the card, right? I didn't say everybody say fellowship, right? Like, that's not what happened. That's not what took place. And yet, you guys said, for the most part, fellowship, right? So, said fellowship. Well, why? Well, because there's those vertical relationships that God, or sorry, those horizontal relationships that God has designed to help one another. Once again, it's God wants us to be pouring our lives out for him from a full cup. He wants us to be pouring our lives out for him from a full cup. Certainly, it is going to help to fill our cup to encourage others. But we need other relationships as well that are going to help keep that cup full. And if we don't have those other cup-filling relationships, we're going to be feeling like we're running on empty a lot. Because God has designed our relationship with Christ to be both towards him and towards one another. That's what he wants from us. 2 Peter chapter 3. See, this starts to give us a vision, too, of what the church really should look like, what we're progressing towards. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow. Growth should be looked at excitedly. And I'm afraid that too many times growth is looked at like an indictment on what we didn't know before. The new information is really, really scary because the new information means I didn't know that before. And if I didn't know that before, what's that say about me? What's the conclusion? And God's like, I don't expect you to know it all. Like, grow. It's cool. Grow in grace. I mean, how many of us need the reminder from God that we need to grow in grace towards ourselves? Have you ever needed that reminder? I have. I've needed the reminder that, like, hey, I need to grow in grace. I need to understand. I need to understand that. And if you haven't needed the reminder that you need to grow in grace towards yourself, have you ever needed the reminder to grow in grace towards someone else, a brother or sister in Jesus Christ? Probably, if Jesus could give me this grace, can I extend that grace to a brother or a sister? And so God wants us to grow. The Bible doesn't teach to set expectations high and people will miraculously reach them. See, sometimes I hear that. Set expectations high and kids will perform. Maybe for a little bit. Maybe for a little bit. The Bible does not teach to set expectations high and people will miraculously reach them. The scripture expresses the vision of who we can be and then takes us through the process step by step on how to reach that potential. You see the difference there? See, the difference there is really the difference between living by law and living by faith. Living by law says the expectation is this, good luck. And that leaves us with trying harder, trying harder, trying harder, and trying harder. And it doesn't get us anywhere. And the faith picture says, Jesus says, this is who you are. This is your potential. Now let me show you how to get there. Way different perspective. Way different perspective. So on an individual basis, then we can take a deep breath. Right? That's kind of nice. Middle of the sermon. Okay. Middle. Okay. Towards the end a little bit. Okay. Take a deep breath. Hey, God wants me to grow. God wants me to move forward. God wants me to learn new stuff. That's exciting. God wants to give me grace. I mean, he's gone through all of this because he loves us and his desire is for us to bear fruit. And so I don't need to, set the expectations high, they'll reach them. No, that just produces trying harder, trying harder, trying harder. God sets the vision for us and teaches us how to get there step by step. So that means that we can go into those uncomfortable situations. We can learn through times that are difficult for us. We can gain new skills. We need to be taught. We don't just know how to be effective with others. We all need to be taught the things that we don't know. I'll tell you guys a little bit of a quick story about when I worked at Riley Tractor Parts. So I worked at Riley Tractor Parts, and you guys know I'm super not mechanical, okay? One of the least mechanical people you've ever met in your life, right? And thankfully, I didn't really need to know anything about tractor parts. I'm the inventory person, okay? So I need to make sure that the number of X things that we have reaches what the system says that we have. I can do that, no problem, right? I don't actually have to know anything about tractor parts, usually. But I did in this case, because I was supposed to count the number of valve locks that we had, okay? Now, I don't know the difference between a valve lock and a self-sealing stem bolt. Now, a valve lock is two pieces that go over a valve and fit together. A self-sealing stem bolt is a made-up tool from Star Trek. Okay? I don't know the difference between the two. I have no clue what a valve or a valve, I didn't know what a valve or a valve lock was. And so I count these valve locks and look at that. We have twice as many valve locks as what we need. Well, it takes two to fit around the valve. So you don't have a valve lock unless you have two of these individual pieces. So guess what? We did not have double what we were supposed to have. We had the exact right amount of valve locks that we were supposed to have. Now, that was a terrible mistake. It was an elementary mistake. It was a dumb mistake. But I didn't know better. I didn't know any different. I didn't have any clue. And so we don't know what we don't know, and that's just fine. And so we have that's why God has given us the freedom to learn new things and to for us to capitalize on what God has already blessed us with. I think it was Andy who read earlier about how God has given us special gifts. He wants us to employ those as we continue to learn and as we continue to grow within the body of Christ. Those gifts of grace, they're listed in the book of Romans too, right? He gives us those things and he wants us to use what we've got and then learn about what we don't have. And so I'd like to end with a little bit of a longer story, okay, about a lady that I worked with. And, you know, I really want to tell this story to encourage your guys' hearts concerning the usefulness and the importance of each person. So we have to go back to when we started fellowship, Friday Night Fellowship, about 10 years ago. And there was probably only about, I would say, about two, maybe three kids in Wauseon in the actual congregation that would have been of that teenage age, okay? So we got two, maybe three kids. And we have those two or maybe three kids, and we're going to go ahead and start a junior high school fellowship group. And I had a coworker who wanted to send her son to Friday Night Fellowship Group. So of course I encouraged him to come, and he did, and he ended up being a really important part over the years of the Friday Night Fellowship Group. But the first group that I want to emphasize here is the first group of impact really is the fellowship helpers. Because fellowship was not just about me and Brenna, right? Fellowship really had to do with Brenna and myself and then the other people who helped at Friday Night Fellowship over the years. And the people who helped included not just the people who were the other staff members, but it included the people who brought things like water, the people who brought things like pop, the people who brought things like snacks, the people who were willing to go pick kids up to bring them to Friday Night Fellowship. Those people were really the ones who enabled Friday Night Fellowship to happen on a consistent basis. They allowed Friday Night Fellowship to grow in its momentum because they were willing to use their gas. They were willing to make an impact. People who would be willing to clean the building after we were done. So you think about all of those different people who are really the ones who make Friday Night Fellowship happen. So a lot of times people think Friday Night Fellowship, they think Brenna and I, but I understand that for that to happen, there's actually a really large group of people that have to contribute to make that really go, and that those contributions really make a big difference. So my coworker's son, you know, he had a great time, and he learned a lot. He became really active part of our group for about the next 5 years or so. And as he was leaving fellowship, he was aging out. He was getting to that point. He had brought three boys with him that he had known growing up. They were all younger than him. I think maybe he had babysat them for some time. And so these three boys start coming to fellowship with us because he did. And so these three boys then went with us to Montana Youth Camp. Now, here's another large segment of people that have an impact on their lives, that really have an impact on evangelism, is that all of the people that helped us to go to youth camp over the years. I would fail in mentioning all the drivers that have gone with me over the years, just taking people out to Montana Youth Camp. People who would volunteer their cars, people who would give gas money, people who would sponsor scholarships for these kids to be able to come to youth camp, not to mention the staff that actually makes the youth camp run. See, one of the things that I really always appreciated is that they were always augmenting and supplementing the efforts that we were doing with the kids as we went to camp, right? That was being, hey, we're all working together. And it was a real blessing for me as a whole that I'm able to see, you know, there's one kid in particular of these three boys. One kid in particular, he was particularly rowdy. Okay, he always sat right beside me. He wanted to, so it didn't feel right when he wasn't right beside me at fellowship. But he was a rowdy. He was a joke teller. You know, that's the kid that he was. He was the youngest brother. You can imagine. Okay, it's the way that he was. To see that kid to go from never really having read the Bible before to being at camp and quoting, I don't know, 15, 20 verses in a week, and that's a blessing for me. Because again, I know who it takes for those things to happen. I know the people that have contributed. I know the people that have brought forth of what they had so that it's possible for this to take place. The boys continued to come to the youth lock-ins. Lots of people from here have been staff on the youth lock-ins. You guys have supported it, been a part of it, contributed. People at the lock-ins, snacks, people, staff from all over the country, people flying in from other states, contributions. The people that come in afterwards after we've completely and totally wrecked the building. I mean, it's just like, that's contributions. So people, hey, they can use my camper. You know, those people from out of state, they can use my camper so they don't have to turn around and go back to Virginia or Pennsylvania or wherever it is. Hey, yeah, I can bring kids from wherever I'm at. You know, how many times have we loaded up the 15-passenger van here? And so, again, staff from various congregations, people who donated food, prepared that food, cleaned up after the lock-in. These are more groups that impacted these three kids. I could go on and on, but get to the rest of the story. And three boys we were reaching out to, but I hadn't had a ton of contact with their mom. And, you know, basically, their mom and their dad are separated, and you know, their mom, we always had a good and a friendly relationship, but their mom started having some health difficulties, and those health difficulties got progressively worse. And not only did her health difficulties become progressively worse, she experienced some family difficulties, and then she received a cancer diagnosis. And so this is a lady who's, you know, early 40s. And she's got herself ongoing health difficulties, family difficulties, and a cancer diagnosis. And then some of the ladies in our congregation, they got together and made freezer meals for her, sent them home with the boys, delivered them to her. And she talked about what a big deal that was and what an impact that made. So she was about to go into surgery, and she asked if we could pray together before her surgery, and I said, certainly. So we got together and prayed with her before her surgery. And she expressed an interest about making sure that if she knew, she passed away, where she was going. She wanted to know where she was going. And so we started studying the Bible. That's when we started studying the Bible, 10 years later, 9 years later. Started studying the Bible. And we studied for about a year, and about a year later, she asked if she could be immersed into Jesus Christ. And so we immersed her. We immersed her, and then, you know, she came to the assembly. You know, a bunch of people, they a couple of instances I know of in particular, people taking her out for coffee. You know, people taking her out to dinner. Making sure that she's connected and welcome. Guys, The reason I tell this story is because each person really made a difference in her life. Each person was involved in that fruit. Whether you were the person that brought snacks or whether you were the person that went out to coffee with her after she was immersed into Jesus Christ, you were a part of that evangelism, and that evangelism focus towards her. People who haven't even met her contributed to her becoming a Christian, contributed to her getting brought into the body of Jesus Christ. Each person shares in that bearing of fruit. And so my encouragement to all of us is there's so many ways in which God can use you. So many ways in which God can use what he has given to you to be useful and to be fruitful in the kingdom. Our focus just needs to be to be on the Lord, attentive to our purpose, able to learn to grow, to use what God has given to us, and to learn, and to appreciate the contribution of the saints as a whole, because your part counts. No matter who you are along the line, your contribution makes a difference. God wants us to be useful and fruitful, and we need to recognize the importance of our individual part, because each part of the body is so important, and it's our job to grow that part, to hone that part, to be the best that that part can be. And this is how the body's really going to fit together. As we work with others, and as we grow individually, we will bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples. That's what we want to be focused on, is really working at what the Lord has blessed us with to be the best that we can be on an individual basis, so that the body of Christ locally and the body of Christ on this earth and in the body of Christ in heaven, so that we can be all that Jesus would have us to be and so prove to be his disciples. So appreciate your attention. Sorry I went a little bit long this afternoon. So let's stand and let's sing our decision song.